Hi, this is Melanie Day.
This is Donnie Wahlberg from the New Kids on the Block.
Hey, I'm Lauren Daigle.
This is Dick Clark.
This is Ingrid Michaelson. You are listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast. Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have singer-songwriter Melanie Day with us on the podcast. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for making time for us. Is singer-songwriter the your preferred way of being introduced?
I think so. Yeah, okay. That's probably the most accurate.
Because you write and you perform and sing music that is in many different genres.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't say, here's jazz singer, here's blues singer, here's Americana,
right,
which more and more doesn't mean anything. So singer-songwriter is good. How did you decide to go down the singer-songwriter path?
Boy, I my whole life, you know, growing up, singing at home, my dad playing guitar in the corner, singing Johnny Cash type songs, and mom singing and us harmonizing, me and my sisters, and I playing the piano here and there and there, and singing in choir at church, and just taking music in high school, and, you know, just constantly just surrounded by music. It was just part of life. It's just part of life. And eventually I started writing poetry when I was in college. For a class, an English class, and I was writing, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. I love lyrics. I love doing this. And one day, driving along, one of those poems was running around in my head, and it just kind of popped into a song. It turned into a song, just like, wow, this is cool. This is, you know. And after that, I just started writing lyrics for songs, and I'm very lyric heavy, very storyteller heavy, and so I usually go for the lyric first, and then the music comes along afterwards. I lived in Germany for many years, and that's kind of where it started. And I moved back to the States, landed here in Colorado, and joined a rock band at that time then, covers, and then we threw in a few originals here and there. My first big one was Losin'. It was a heavy blues. And it was actually played on the radio here, 99.5 The Mountain, a little bit. And I just wanted to move more into just doing more original stuff. And so I created a band. I started writing a lot more. And the band was called Dazed, D-A-Z-E-D, Melanie Day and Dazed. And Eric Gunnison is the music director at Denver University, and he was referred to me as someone who could be, because I was looking to produce, you know, kind of go official with a couple of albums and, you know, put my music down. And he was a huge jazz pianist. And that was the thing that kind of pulled me more into the jazz blues side of things. That's why so much of my music sounds, or at least my earlier stuff, sounds jazzy, bluesy. But then along the way, I, you know, kind of bumped into life, and I had my husband had passed away, and so I became a widow and just kind of fell off. I didn't feel like doing music for a few years, and then slowly, but it just slowly started creeping back in. I've since remarried, and you just kind of now just kind of kept writing songs though through the time. And now I was a dean at Colorado Christian University, as a business dean for the business school online, and really recently retired. So now I'm really going full time back into music and writing, and I'm actually releasing a song that's not a Christmas song on January 1st. So I'm really excited about that. But this Christmas album, I had my buddy, my fellow songwriter on the album, Dan Wright, it was a longtime friend of my husband, and he his wife had Parkinson's, and so he ended up taking care of her full time. He, a comedian, songwriter, musician, really, really funny guy. And, but he was pretty much 24/7 taking care of his wife. So he was housebound, you know? And so we'd go and visit from time to time. And I just said, you know what? I don't know how we got a conversation. We should write Christmas songs, and let's do a Christmas. So I wrote four of the songs on there. He wrote four of the songs on there, and then we put them together. And it's a totally, as you know, totally pared down, very unusual, eclectic set of songs. But it was really fun. And my son is a musician in his own right. He has his own studio, and he's very heavy industrial metal. Totally different than us, of course, than me, but he was the one that produced this album for us. And we had a blast doing it. And it was something for me, you know, obviously a creative outlet, but it was also, I went over there and hung out with him every week for many years, actually, and working on the CD. And then we worked on another one, but just to give him an outlet while he was taking care of his wife, because she couldn't take care of herself. So long, long story. So that's my journey is, but I love reggae. I love world music. I love beats and rhythms. And I do love jazz and blues and rock and classic rock and alternative. You know, I just love it all. So I just want to explore it all. So it's, yeah, it's kind of hard to peg me into a genre. And when they say, oh, what genre is this? You know, yeah, what you're, you know, it's really, really tricky to, yeah. And like you say, Americana, I guess. Yeah. You know, I guess. Yeah,
what does that even mean anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that I love about Christmas music is that all of that stuff that you're talking about is okay there. There aren't really genre gatekeepers with Christmas music. You can have an album that has reggae and blues and jazz and rock and all of that, and that's fine. Yeah. You put out a non-Christmas music album that has that, and people just...
It's confusing.
They don't know what do I do with, I don't know. It used to be, you know, when there were record stores, it used to be, well, I don't know where we would put this.
But right.
Now it's, now since so much of it is streaming, that's not really an issue anymore, but that mentality still sticks around.
Yeah.
But at least with Christmas music, that doesn't happen. Which of the, if you remember, which of the four Christmas songs came first?
Oh, which one came first? Boy, probably, I don't know, maybe Praise the Lord Reggae Christmas, but Unsuspecting World is right up there too. Praise the Lord Reggae Christmas was one that I thought would be most widely received. And so I went ahead and paid a radio promoter, an indie radio promoter out of California, that year that we released it in 2016. So I you know, he pitched the song. It hit all the way up to 21 on the indie holiday charts that year for 2016. So Praise the Lord Reggae Christmas. So that was really fun. But Unsuspecting World was also right up in there, which I'm actually right now, this season, re-releasing as a single. You know, just, I want to just kind of keep every year, just keep them up and keep them alive, because I think they're fun and good. And Unsuspecting World has a kind of a minstrel, like you kind of a beat that, like, you consider somebody, you know, strolling down the cobbled streets, light it, you know, for Christmas, and da 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 da, you know. And I was talking to my daughter-in-law about this. I said, yes, it's a minstrel song. And she says, minstrel? I'm like, no, not minstrel, minstrel, you know. And then I'm like, minstrel, And so then Don't Let It Be at Christmas Time was born, if you forgive me. Don't Let It Be at Christmas Time this year. I'm like, that's kind of a fun, weird, unusual topic for the holiday. Anyway, so there, yeah, this kind of stuff unfolded. But Dan's, we had a lot of fun. The last song on the album is called Flapjack Christmas. And if you, I don't know if you remember that, but it is, you know, basically put one more flapjack on for Christmas and all the people are coming in and welcome, come on in, you know, and then you hear just all kinds of stuff going on in the background and plates and dishes and, you know, pumpkin pie and all, you know, all this kind of stuff. But that was a lot of fun to record. We just even have a horse neighing in the background. But
yeah, Flapjack Christmas is a party. It's it's the kind of thing that instantly brings to mind a full house for the holidays.
Exactly.
And it's just very warm and inviting and a lot of fun. Was there one of these songs that or something else that sort of made you think about doing a Christmas album? Was it Dan's idea?
Well, it was my idea, actually. But he was not hard to convince. I mean, he's a right along with me, and we both kind of, you know, eyes light up and yeah, you know, and we just kind of feed off of each other that way. So, but anyway, he passed away. I told you, you know, he passed away in February of this year. Yeah. So we're not going to be able to do that anymore. So this is also when I'm re-releasing this song and re-releasing these things are also in memory of him or, you know, in honor of his memory.
So. And keeping the music alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's good stuff if I do say so myself. Even though if it's pared down, it's me on the ukulele. He plays guitar. He plays gas can drum, drum. My son did a couple little, you know, percussion type things all across the CD and played bass on one of the songs. But it's mainly me, ukulele, guitar, gas can drum. How pared down can you get, you know? and then some harmonies, right? Back and forth. And some funny little interludes. Yeah. We had a blast with it.
The album's called Christmas Time, and they're all original tracks that either you were behind or Dan was behind or you guys worked on together. Mm-hmm. Was there ever any conversation about doing any covers?
No, we wanted to do original stuff. It's more interesting, you know. Although when we performed, When we did our Christmas concerts, we did our whole album, but we also then fed into, we brought in Blue Christmas and Mary's Boy Child and several other kind of more traditional Christmas songs as far as our live shows. But as far as recording, no, we just wanted to do our own original stuff.
I know you're sort of re-embarking on your music career. Is it too soon to think about more Christmas music?
I suppose not. Now it's probably a good time to get started for next year. It's probably not too soon or too. I've just got a whole slew of things in the pipeline right now. But yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. you know, nobody has ever yelled at me for this, but in so many of these interviews, I mean, your album came out almost 10 years ago, right? 2016. Many of the people I talk to have something that just came out within the last month, sometimes sooner. And I will still spit out that question. You know, this is great and we're so excited about it. How about some more Christmas music, though? And there's a lot of hemming and hawing. A couple people will have something that they're already thinking about, but I'm a Christmas music junkie, so I
sure. No wonder.
Yeah, I absolutely have to ask.
Yeah,
I'll put a link down in the show notes to your website and where people can find out more about Christmas Time. The album is streaming. Melanie Day and Dan Wright. Some of the places you'll need to put in both names, and Melanie is M-E-L-L-A-N-I. You mentioned that you have something new coming that's not Christmas on the first of the year. Is there anything more you can tell us about that?
Well, yeah. It is called You Loved Me First, and this is a very more rockin', big sound, but it's like the traditional four-piece rock band with harmonies. My daughter actually did some vocal harmonies in the background for me, which is really exciting. But it's called You Loved Me First, and it's not explicit, so our listener wouldn't necessarily know what it was about, but the underlying theme was looking back in history and, you know, hearing the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane after working with his disciples all this time and doing, you know, his miracles, doing whatever he did. When they came to arrest him, all of his people left him, right? They just all fled, if you know the story. And, you know, we looking back on the story right now, it's like, how could they do that? How could they leave him like that? You know, and the song is kind of like, wow, if I was there, I would have stayed with him. And I was like, no, I probably wouldn't have, you know. So anyway, it's kind of a contemplative but heavy rock. I don't know, are you familiar with Mac Powell and Third Day? They have a song called Consuming Fire. That's really, it's that kind of feeling to it. Anyway, so.
I know Third Day. I'm not familiar with that song, but I am familiar with Third Day. Mostly because of the Christmas album, I'll admit.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, that's true for so many. Yeah, I know them. They put out a great Christmas album.
I'll have to check that out. I don't even think I've heard their Christmas album. Very good.
Yeah, it's really cool. You mentioned that you have, actually, I was going to ask about the other things in the pipeline, but there's one thing that I want to know about, and we'd have to circle back to one of your first albums, where you did a cover.
Oh, yeah.
Of I Want a New Drug.
The only cover I've ever done. Yeah. I loved it. It was so fun. And way down, laid back, jazzy version of it. I actually sent a CD to Huey Lewis because, you know, obviously I wanted him to know. And fortunately, he called me. Unfortunately, I missed his call, so I got a voice message. And he says, "Melanie, I really loved what you did with the song, you know," or something like that. And that was kind of the gist of the voice message, you know. And I, you know, oh shoot! Ah! You know? But anyway, it was really fun, and I've gotten a lot of good reviews over the years on that song. People were like saying, "I'm so glad you recorded this. It was, you know, you did the song justice," kind of thing. You know, it was fun. Yeah.
What's really fun about it is that it's so different from the Huey Lewis hit version that when you listen to it, if you're familiar with the other one, when you listen to your version of I Want a New Drug, it's one of those things where you're like, why do I know all the words to this song? And then suddenly it hits you. Oh, my God. So how did you, because that's the only cover that you've done that you've recorded and released. How did you pick that one?
Well, if you haven't kind of picked up on it by now, I love music that can be interpreted, songs that can be interpreted in several different ways. And this song to me could also be very spiritual. And so I thought of it in that way when I chose it for recording, and I thought it would be a real surprise, actually shocking. yeah, I don't know. I like Huey Lewis, and I thought it would be a fun project to twist it like that. And I was really happy with the results.
Yeah, I just had to ask because it's, I mean, the version that you did is not so different from everything else that you've recorded, but it's just that that sticks out, at least to me, because it's the only cover. So I had to ask. You had mentioned that you've got a bunch of things in the pipeline. Anything that you want to talk about?
Well, I just, over the years, I've just kind of piled up stuff, and I'm kind of going more in the spiritual side of things for the next few. In fact, I'm going in the studio on Saturday to lay drum and bass tracks for the next one. But I want to, you know, what's really interesting in this world now is just singles. You don't need to release a whole album. Just release singles, you know. And so that's kind of my plan for the next year, is maybe every couple months, like, release an old one, re-release an old one as a single, and then in the meantime record a new one, you know, kind of leapfrog or something like that over the next year. Just as a strategy, just to see what would happen, you know. And
yeah,
I kind of plan to go into different styles slightly, you know. So
I had talked to somebody probably a month ago, and that was the kind of thing that she was doing. She has released non-Christmas music singles probably for more than a year now. And, you know, every 3 or 4 months, a new one will come out. And she says, after the last one comes out, we'll probably put them all together on an album because they kind of fit together. But doing that isn't, you know, is a down the road, you know, that's a 2026 problem. But just focusing on the singles, because that's something that, you know, whether you like it or not, depending on what kind of era of music that you grew up listening to, that's where we are now, because everybody's making their own playlists, and so much is streaming that there just aren't a whole lot of, there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of interest in albums. Christmas music seems to be different than that, but I think it's still going the same way, because as many albums as I get sent to me, I get a lot more singles. And part of that is that it's easier to record and release a single as an independent artist. And, you know, it used to be, back in the old days, back in the get off my lawn days, you would be working with a label, you would be recording a Christmas single in May, and it would go through all of the steps so that they could put the 45 out in October, November, whenever. But now, I mean, last year, Lady Gaga put out a version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town like a few days before Christmas.
Yeah, it can happen so fast. We have the technology. It's so interesting and really cool. The next thing, of course, is when you're promoting your single, and now we have all the AI tools, you know. So I'm learning all, you know, how to create beautiful visuals, and I haven't been happy with the software that I found that, you know, throw in your music and we'll create the video for you kind of thing off of it, which exists. But I've been a little bit more successful in creating and generating graphics and pictures and things that follow the theme, and pulling them all together, and then having the underlying music, and just having it more almost like a slideshow for the song, kind of, you know, melding the old world and the new world in the way that's still interesting. And it does, you know, it is a video that can promote the song, but each individual single has this now, you know, and each individual single has almost as much work behind it as the whole album as far as promotion and everything, you know. So
And there are so many more independent artists now than there are artists that are attached to labels. And you've got to do all of it yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to do the marketing and the promotion. You've got to get the song. It used to be you had to get the song to radio, but there are still so many gatekeepers there that it's very hard to do that. But you can find online stations like The Sounds of Christmas, like whatever kind of music that you like. And you can find people who have made playlists and try to get them on there to get noticed. And it is a lot of work. I have been surprised. I was going to say constantly. I don't know if it's constant, but often surprised at how giant YouTube is for music, for music and podcasts. It has just exploded, and people are making their playlists of podcasts or of music on YouTube, and they're searching. They're using YouTube like a search engine, but that's been a thing for a while. But just to find new music. So if you don't have your stuff on YouTube, you're missing out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And another thing is AI can really help you with not forgetting this or that site or picking out a site that you might not have even known about, you know, because there are so many possible options. You theoretically want to hit them all. I know, well, I don't know. I use CD Baby, which, kind of puts them everywhere, you know, but I still have to do the promotion side of it, you know, to gain the attention. And there's lots of different companies now, you know, obviously once they figure out you're in this business or you're in this at this stage, then you're hit with all kinds of advertisements. Everybody's, you know, hey, you know, hire us, we're the best, hire us, we're the best, you can, you know, and so that's really hard to wade through. But yeah, it's a job for sure.
Yeah, I got an email the other day. And I get one of these two or three times a week. Somebody found my podcast on YouTube, and then the podcast that you're listening to right now, actually. And they sent me an email that said that they found it and that I have 287 episodes, something like that. And it's hard to find, and they want to help me help other people find it. And I emailed them back, and I said, that's weird because you found it.
Right. Yeah.
I never heard back from them. But it is. There are so many, and it's tough. On the one hand, it's easier now, the technical side of recording and getting your music to CD Baby or to Spotify or to Spotify through CD Baby or wherever.
Yeah.
That's easier than it used to be. However, getting anybody to find it, that's tough because there are so many.
Having those tools at your fingertips means everybody has those tools at their fingertips. And so it's a lot more crowded than it used to be, but it's still fun. It's the challenge. The creative process is so rewarding. You know, the 0.001 cent streaming income is a little, you know, kind of hard, but it is what it is.
Do you have a Bandcamp page?
I have not set up a Bandcamp page. No, I used to way back in the day, but I'm sure it's defunct by now. I could do that. I should do that probably.
The reason I ask, I know that the 0.001 cent per stream, if it's that much, might be, there might be another.
It's on their platform, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people see that, you know, there's a story that comes out this time of year almost weekly. Mariah Carey makes this much money from All I Want for Christmas Is You, just from streaming. And that's great. 15 billion streams or whatever it is. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. Most people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're lucky to get 100. And Spotify won't look at you unless you've got 1,000. And it's tough. It's all tough. One of the things that I like about being able to direct people to at least to a Bandcamp page or to the website the artist's website is that the artist gets more of the money for the stuff that they created. I just think that's really important. And I think it's important, not just because it's the right thing to do, but if you want more Christmas music, the people who made it need to be able to eat and keep their lights on and keep food in the fridge and all of that of stuff.
Yeah, because
it takes so much, like what we've been talking about, to get it out there. So I'll make sure I'll put a link to your website. I think I already that, but if I didn't,
down
in the show notes so everybody can find you. Is that the best way to keep up with you? I know you're sort of dipping your feet back into the pool.
Coming back into it. Yeah, I just recently, you know, revamped it a little bit. And I, as I'm releasing these things, I will be I will be adding to it. And there is a contact page on there. Yeah. So if people want to reach out to me, they can do that through that site, or you can find me on all the places, you know, Spotify and, all the music platforms that, CD Baby distributes to. I'm should be everywhere. I did put up one sweet little baby Jesus child. Dan and I created a kind of a little spoof video, and that's up on YouTube from that Christmas spiritual, you know. And but it's a that was really fun. So anyway, that's on YouTube. So there's some stuff on YouTube which I'm going to be doing more. I'm going to be putting creating those music videos and putting song by song up on YouTube.
I'll put a link down in the show notes to your YouTube channel too. So if you're listening, you can just scroll down there and find that and click on over. And then, you know what? When you get to our YouTube channel, subscribe. And that way you won't miss what's coming next.
There you go. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Melanie, thank you so much for making time to come on and talk about all of this.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you so much, Ken. This is a wonderful opportunity for me, and it's great to get to meet you and talk to you a little bit about the business and the Christmas spirit here and what you do and what I do. And yeah, I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. I hope that you have a wonderful holiday, and I hope that 2026 is amazing for you.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Christmas spirit and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes so you can click on that and hop over. Then find your favorite and click on over and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.